All righty. We're going to start tonight in Deuteronomy 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Let's go all the way down where Moses is kind of reviewing some things, and he tells this in more than one place you'll see in a little while. But let's just start with verse 24. O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness and Thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to Thy works and according to all Thy might, or to Thy might, rather? I pray Thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. He smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock, right? And would not hear me. The Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up unto the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people. He shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, come to you tonight, and by the time we get this sorted out, Lord, and folks know what the message is, it'll be for obvious reasons. And, Lord, we live in a day that's unusual. There's plenty to be discouraged about. All the news reports, everything that we hear here and yon, Father, and yet we have, as Christians, the greatest hope there is. Give us strength, Father. May you help us take some of these things to heart. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, it says down in verse 28, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. Now, I have several sermons on encouragement and discouragement, all kind of different. But anytime I read through these passages about encouragement or discouragement, I seem to always pick up something. It always seems timely, thought-provoking. I remind you that, think about the words, discourage means to take courage away. And to encourage means to put courage in. It's kind of interesting. I looked up, if I asked you what courage meant, I'm not sure what I'd hear, but it says this from Webster's, 1828. A quality of mind that enables one to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and without depression of spirits. So I was thinking about that, and it's plainly to talk about encouragement or discouragement is plainly apropos for the day we live in. We live in a country that, if all the clouds that are on the horizon are to be believed, has seen its better days because of America's sins. And we have an economy that's been south and maybe going further south for all we know, so on and so forth, the world, everything going on. You live, furthermore, as Christians, in the ever-darkening twilight of Laodicea. Churches are going to the left by the score. Seems like at every turn somebody is giving up some important part of their heritage in Jesus Christ for basically nothing. Furthermore, you have your own personal battles and sorrows and tears and all the things that we talked about some this morning. Bottom line is we as Christians have a lot of enemies, and there are many traits that threaten us. We think about our world, our flesh, and we think about the devil, of course. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, stop and think about it. There may not be anything that's more dangerous to you or insidious to you than discouragement itself. Discouragement is one of those things that always kind of lurks. It's not necessary for you to have lost a major battle or anything like that. You'll find some places where, for instance, Elijah was discouraged after one of the greatest displays of power anybody's ever seen, right? So just because you've won a victory doesn't mean you can't be discouraged. Discouragement always seems to lurk around the shadows and never seem to be far away. It always plays on your insecurities, your failures, your losses, that sort of thing. Discouragement can ruin you where you sit all by yourself. You know, a lot of sins in this life require a bottle or a computer or a crack pipe or some other sort of addiction, that sort of thing. But, you know, you can sit alone in the dark in your house having won a victory and you have no bottle of booze and you have no crack pipe, no marijuana, you have no computer on, no TV on, and you can still wind up discouraged just sitting where you are, just thinking with no help from anybody or anywhere. There are lots of things that discourage. I know sometimes the brethren are discouraging. There is nobody more discouraging to you than you. And so I want to talk to you about that for a little while here tonight. Discouragement can set in for no really good reason, but there are some things in the Word of God I kind of scratched out here this week. And I'd like to just talk to a while tonight about staying encouraged. And nobody's going to guarantee anybody's not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to guarantee you that I'm not going to be that sort of thing. But I learned some things about staying encouraged. Now, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, Moses is relating that he's getting ready to go up and die. And he says in verse 28, where the Lord tells him, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him." Charge him, encourage him, strengthen him. Okay, first of all, let me say that encouragement should be received as a charge. Okay? Now, by definition, a charge is a burden laid on somebody, a load laid on somebody. It is, in fact, Webster connects it with cargo, not just, a charge of cargo. The idea is that a lot of times we are, we say we're discouraged by our burdens, by responsibility laid upon us. The bottom line is, as a Christian, the charge given you, the burden laid on you, should be an encouragement to you, but you should receive it as a charge. A charge, by the way, is also a quantity of gunpowder or shot that you charge a cannon with. Amen? So there's a distinctively military aspect about this. What is encouragement to folks these days? Is this encouragement? Go, Joshua, go! Win, Joshua, win! Go, fight! Let's win! Because I'm afraid that's how it's received sometimes. Folks find the weirdest, dumbest, stupidest thing to be. They're encouraged by pictures of fuzzy kitties. What has that got to do with being encouraged and discouragement, right? You happen on the same morning to burn your toast and cut yourself shaving at the same morning, and you're all discouraged. Sometimes that toast is sharp. But I say, folks, you should receive encouragement as a charge. A charge is distinctively military in most cases. And here is Joshua, who for the rest of his lifetime is headed off into battle. I mean, he's going to go from now on. He's going to fight and war. There are going to be ebbs and flows in that war. Things are not always going to go good, whether he knew that or not. He is going to lose some good men. There are going to be people killed around him. There are going to be some losses. And ladies and gentlemen, last time I checked, you and me are supposed to be at war. By certain qualities, we are to war, a good warfare. We're called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now look, you need to receive encouragement as a charge. Okay, it ought to strengthen you. And by that I mean, you cannot afford to be discouraged by petty, nonsensical things. And by the way, I think at the same time, you're on dangerous ground if you're encouraged by petty, stupid things. Go, Joshua, go. Fight, Joshua, fight. Win, Joshua, win. Go, fight. Let's win. Yay! Who cares whether you have a cheerleader, right? It doesn't matter if Mrs. Jones spoke to Mrs. Smith, but not to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if somebody forgot to give you a thank you note. It doesn't matter if you didn't get an invitation. You should not be discouraged by stuff like that. Stuff is petty, superficial stuff. You should receive encouragement as a charge, okay? It is something that God has laid on you. You have been given a stewardship in Jesus Christ. You've been appointed an ambassador for Jesus Christ, okay? If you were president of these United States, I know you're not going to be. If you were, I would hope you would not be discouraged every time some lily-livered little dweeb, staff dweeb, came in and gave you some bad news about the economy. I hope you would not be discouraged. You ought to be bigger in the office than that, right? You cannot afford to allow petty, small, nonsensical things discourage you spiritually. By the same token, you have such substance to encourage you that you should not allow pictures of fuzzy bunnies to be particularly encouraging either. Because if you're that easily encouraged, you're also easily discouraged. Right? Receive it as a charge. Now this, look in Deuteronomy 1, a chapter back. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I always wanted to be a cheerleader. Not really. Not really. Somebody goes, huh? All right. Deuteronomy 1, a lot happens in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And again, Moses reiterates in verse 37, "Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, Israel, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither." Once again, "But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Okay? Now, first of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, Joshua is once again, Moses is told once again to encourage Joshua. Now, in this regard, where are they? First of all, they are in the wilderness. Okay? And so here is Joshua being encouraged to lead these 2.5 million people in the wilderness. So it's not exactly a cushy motel type scenario. It's not a resort, okay? It's a hardship, the hardships of the wilderness. Furthermore, if you notice context here, for instance, verse 19, the context here is Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is where the children of Israel were told by God to go into the land and take it right now. And they said, "We have a better idea. We'll send in spies, okay?" He said, "You sure?" I said, "Yeah." "Okay, you can send in spies." So spies went in, 10 were bad, 2 were good. You know what happened, right? Kadesh Barnea remains one of the greatest travesties in history. Talk about lost opportunities. I mean, there are times that, a kid will, somebody had a chance to make a touchdown and tripped on his own shoestrings, or to make a layup and missed the layup, that sort of thing. And, you would have won the game if you just had done that. And so it's a great missed opportunity. Boy, Kadesh Barnea in the history of Israel ranks right up there at the very top somewhere, because they could and should have gone in then. It cost them an entire generation of people in that wilderness. Those folks went back to the wilderness, wandered around for 40 years, it cost them 40 years, and there that generation died. And it was never quite the same again. But Kadesh Barnea, it's Kadesh Barnea. It's adverse conditions. It's not the Hotel Sofitel. It's not a resort somewhere. This is the wilderness. This is revolving around Kadesh Barnea, where, notice verse 27, although Joshua and Caleb came back with the good news of the land, let's go right now. Instead, verse 27, "Ye, Israel, murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us," which is a stupid thing to say, "he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us." So here you have murmuring brethren. Here you have a multitude of people discouraged, verse 28, "Whither shall we go up, says Israel? Our brethren have discouraged our heart." Okay? Well, maybe you should have gone up when the Lord said go up instead of sending in spies. But nevertheless, the brethren are murmuring. The brethren are discouraged themselves. They would not listen to Joshua and Caleb. They would not listen. And so, just like Ezekiel was sent into Israel one day, and God said, listen, I'm going to have to make your forehead hard against their forehead, because those people are hard-headed people. They are not going to listen to you. You're going to preach your guts out, and none of them are going to listen to you. Okay? These folks would not listen. Okay? You ever been to a place where folks don't listen? Furthermore, down in verse 35, you find, and we're getting there, surely, this is the Lord now, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Judgment falls on that generation. Here you stand in this wilderness at Kadesh Barnea, and judgment falls on that generation. They're going to have to go wander 40 years. They're going to all die. Their carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness, okay? Things are not good. I want to say, you understand, these are adverse conditions. You have to learn to be encouraged amidst adverse conditions. Here is Moses. Furthermore, there's another thing. Moses is going to die. God is mad at Moses for smiting the rock when he should have spoken to the rock. And he says, for that reason, you're not going in. So because of your failure, now it's your turn. You go encourage Joshua, and he'll take them in. But again, folks, I mean, here Joshua faces losing his mentor, the king of Jeshurun, the great prophet. This guy has to die basically under the judgment of God. In that respect, understanding there's some leeway here, in that way Moses was kind of fallen in Joshua's sight. Okay, you have to learn to be encouraged in adverse conditions. Remember the definition for courage. The quality of mind that enables one to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and without depression of spirits. Verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. Now, he's going to cause them to inherit it. Kadesh Barnea is right before us. All these people are going to have to go back to the wilderness. There, a bunch of them are going to die. This generation of 20 and older, they're all going to go out and wander until they die. When the last one dies, then maybe we can go in, okay? Furthermore, Moses is going to die. It's a bad and a sad day, and yet Joshua is told he is to be encouraged in that day. He is to be encouraged in a day of adverse conditions. You have to learn to be encouraged in a day of adverse conditions. For, just like Joshua, you know, Joshua was still going to be the guy to bring Israel in. I tell you what, the economy may be bad, and your job may be at stake, and there may be a lot of things going wrong. You may cry tears at night all night long for all I know. I tell you this, though, if you're saved, there's still going to be a rapture. You still have a mansion in heaven. You still have to go before the judgment seat of Christ one day. You're still going to get there. You're still going to go in. You still have to find a way to be encouraged in the middle of adverse conditions. Furthermore, verse 38 again. Notice, for he, Joshua, shall cause Israel to inherit it. He shall cause. Now, in this case, I mean, I know that it was going to happen, but there's a lot that rode on Joshua being encouraged. There's a lot that rode on Joshua having courage and not being depressed of spirit in difficulty and danger, because it rode on him to make sure and lead Israel in. I tell you what, there may be a lot that depends on you staying stirred up, on you staying encouraged and not being easily discouraged by petty, you know, small things, and allowing yourself to fall off about once every 6 months and lay out of church for a while, because I got news for you, that's discouraging to the brethren. It really is. Sometimes folks don't realize, and you think this is just some cheap, you know, attendance, tithing, and soul winning message. It's not. I tell you this, whether you know it or not, your presence here matters to people. And believe it or not, three or four major guys, major families don't show up for a little while. I tell you what, folks, Services are entirely different when that happens. Do you show up to church even when Brother Stevens isn't here? You know? You discourage the hearts of your brethren by not being where you're supposed to be and not doing what you're supposed to do. And I haven't been keeping attendance, by the way. You need to learn to be encouraged in adverse conditions. Joshua faces all kinds of heartbreaking things. An entire generation of people, a victory that could have been had. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. And Moses has to die too because of character failure. And I'm supposed to pick up the sheepskin and lead. I'm supposed to take up the banner and lead. I'm supposed to be encouraged in that condition. Yes, in those conditions. You have to be encouraged in adverse conditions. All right, look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 11. You need to receive encouragement as a charge, not something to be pettily, to be talked out of or discouraged in by petty things. You're to be encouraged in adverse conditions. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, in 2 Samuel 11, this is a mess. But notice that talking about Uriah the Hittite's death, verse 24, the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants. Talking about David's servants. A messenger is before David, telling David what happened. And some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. And deep down inside, David's going, yes! Verse 25. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. Messenger, you encourage Joab. Now again, this revolves around the conspiracy and murder of Uriah the Hittite. This is a royal mess. This is a sorry state of affairs, right? But I will say this, folks. In this case, the messenger goes back and encourages Joab, right? Now, there are some things that are disconsonant with us. For instance, it helps to have a king that's not a rascal. And make no mistake about it, David was a rascal in 2 Samuel 11. He wasn't a rascal all the way through his life. He was a rascal in 2 Samuel 11. Is your king a rascal? Will your king ever be a rascal? No, he won't. Furthermore, it helps if the cause is right. Is your cause right? You've been given your stewardship in Jesus Christ. This messenger was going to encourage a murderer who David conspired with to murder Uriah the Hittite. That is an unworthy cause, right? Do you have that problem? In Jesus Christ, you do not have that problem, right? The messenger needs to be right, okay? And that's what I'd like to say here in this regard. I mean, I know that it's kind of the flip side of opposite of how things should go, because by all means, the messenger should not have been encouraging. The king should not encourage the messenger to encourage a murderer or a murder. But that's not your problem. Ladies and gentlemen, you will have to receive encouragement at the hand of a messenger. Okay? Now, you need to take care of what kind of messenger you listen to. Like I said, there are lots of folks that are encouraged over dumb things. But I'll tell you this. People are encouraged by a messenger. You need to get in a spot where you can be encouraged by a messenger. Okay? The king's not going to come talk to you. Okay? Yes, you have a Bible. But the king's not going to come down and you're praying for encouragement. He's not going to shower rose petals down on your head so that you know that you can be encouraged. It's not going to happen. You will have to hear the word from somebody else's mouth. Now, you can go to the Bible and get some yourself. We'll talk about that later. The fact of the matter is, you need to know that you need to receive encouragement at the hand of a messenger. You need to be on a regular basis somewhere where a messenger can reach you and encourage your heart and charge you and strengthen you. All right? Look at something else here. Look at Psalm 64. Psalm 64. And again, this winds up being a little disconsonant with righteousness. But notice it says in Psalm 64, starting in verse 1, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. They are out to get him." Verse 3, "Who whet their tongue like a sword. They bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They," notice, "they encourage themselves in an evil matter." Okay? They encourage. Notice they encourage themselves. You know, the wicked encourage themselves in an evil matter. I used to have a job. I went to my first year in college now, not Bible college. I stayed in Arlington for the summer, and so I needed work. And I landed a part-time dock worker's job, but I was hardly getting any hours at all. So I had to find something else. So, believe it or not, I took a shot at telephone soliciting. I was selling office supplies. And so we'd get into the office pretty early in the morning and start calling the East Coast and then work away, you know, way across the country as the day went on. And I had no success selling office supplies on the phone. And, you know, it just, I got treated like I still treat office or telephone solicitors. And, you know, I got where after a few weeks, I was going to work there, and it was all I could do to get myself to pick up the phone and make a call. I also had another job in high school. I hope my sister doesn't have any pictures. Ideal Bread came to our school and said they wanted somebody to work a part-time job and to ride around with the bread delivery man and dress up as Superman. They had some sort of a wacky, Della May, you quit laughing. They had some sort of a goofy Superman promotion thing. And, of course, Superman is, duh, got black hair. I had, duh, blonde hair. So I had to spray paint my hair. And I know you've never seen me in tights, and that's probably a good thing. But I got, you know, it was $8 an hour. This is back in 79, folks. $8 an hour. But it was all I could do. I got where it just was all I could do to manage to go to that job. I had to screw up all the courage I could find just to go out and walk to the store with the bread guy. I was thinking about that this afternoon as I thought, you know, there are sure some jobs I'm glad I don't have. You imagine what it'd be like, believing what you believe, to be a social worker. Have to go in and deal with people, you know, who maybe help somebody take somebody's kids away. How would you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning? Tell me that. How would you like to be a IRS auditor? I've even thought before, you know, at one point I was thinking about being a police officer. I am glad I'm not a police officer. I cannot imagine. I mean, I don't do seat belts usually and all that kind of stuff. I can't imagine pulling somebody over because they don't have a seat belt on. Just, I don't even know how I'd encourage myself to do that. My point is, though, folks, somehow, some way, the wicked manage to encourage themselves in an unrighteous thing. Now, if the wicked manage to encourage themselves to do something wicked and shameful and disgraceful, you with the truth with a true and a righteous matter, why can't we screw up the courage to do that? You know, the wicked are very resilient, are they not? The atheists keep coming at us just like it was an honorable thing. If I say, how about sodomy? If I say the acronym NAMBLA, how many of you know what that is? If you don't know what it is, I'm going to spare you, okay? Suffice to say, it's a club, it's an association for some of the very most perverse things you could ever imagine in your life. If you had passions that might lead you to join a NAMBLA, I would hope you would go hide in your garage, preferably under a ton of rock, for the rest of your life. I hope you would never show your face in public ever again because it's disgraceful. But somehow, they managed to screw up the courage to come back out. Somehow, the global warming wackos, in spite of everything else, just seem to keep coming out as if there is no evidence against it or anything else. They keep going right along in their wicked ways, do they not? So tell me, why is it if they are not discouraged, if they are so resilient and so resolute in their wickedness, the things that they do, the iniquity, how is it that we are so discouraged? How is it that atheists and sodomites manage to encourage themselves in wickedness to the point that they just keep coming at us no matter what, but the Christians seem to always manage to find a reason not to go fight, always to back off, always to give ground, give away Palestine, etc., etc.? How is it that it always seems like that? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you need to learn to encourage yourself, okay? These wicked men, the wicked, encourage themselves. Notice verse 5. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. Now, maybe you're easily discouraged. I don't know. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to learn to encourage yourself. You need to learn to do your own first aid, all right? Maybe, I don't know. What keeps a NAMBLA person encouraged to do their nonsense? I mean, they consider it some sort of a badge of honor to continue to push for sodomite agenda, etc., etc. Where do they get encouragement to do that? The Bible says they encourage themselves. I guess it's their cause. I guess it's their calling, maybe they'd say. What about your cause? What about your calling? Tell what you need to do. You need to find a place you can go where there's a Bible and where you can go and renew your calling, what you're called to do, where you can renew what you know you're supposed to do and be reminded of your stewardship before God, the things that God has delivered to you to do. Be reminded of your ambassadorship, your sonship before Jesus Christ. And maybe it's a prayer altar. Maybe it's just reading your Bible. I'm not sure. But somewhere where you can go and be reminded of the fact that your wife is counting on you and that your kids are counting on you or your husband's counting on you. And by the way, your Bible-believing brothers and sisters in Christ are counting on you. You need to be able to find a place. You need to find ground that you can always go to encourage yourself. Now, I grant you, there should be a way that there should be somebody to come along to encourage you. I mean, there should be a messenger somewhere, and yes, there should. But there's going to come an hour where the right guy is not going to be in the right spot to come along and pat you on the behind and say, now, come on, let's go, come on, come on. You're going to have to go off alone and do it yourself. Take care of your own first aid, all right? You need to learn to encourage yourself. Look in Judges 20. Judges 20. Now, this is another mess, by the way. This mess started when a Levite concubine ran off on him. So he went and chased her down and was going to bring her home, and they stopped overnight in a Benjamite city. And when they stopped in the Benjamite city, there wound up being a major issue. And his concubine wound up being raped all night and killed. And he was so disgraced by it that he cut her up in 12 pieces, sent her off to, you know, in pieces to all the tribes of Israel, trying to bang up, you know, a war to go after these Benjamites who did this to his wife, to his concubine. Well, as you know, a battle was set. The Benjamites said, no, we're not going to give up the guys that did that. If you want them, you come take them. So sure enough, there's a battle fought. Notice verse 21, the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. It says back in verse 20, the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. So Benjamin comes out and kills 22,000 men. Down in verse 22, and the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves. There you have it again, somebody encouraging themselves. Now, the last folks we saw were wicked men that encouraged themselves in their own iniquity. Now, you having a righteous and true cause, shouldn't you be able to find ground to encourage yourself? And here, you have men that encourage themselves after a major defeat. And that's not all. Verse 23. Children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? The Lord said, go up against them. He said, go up against them the first time, too. So down in verse 24, the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day, destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. 22,000 one day, 18,000 the next day. Verse 26. And all the children of Israel and all the people went up, came into the house of God and wept, sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even, offered burnt offerings, peace offerings before the Lord. The children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet go again, or shall I again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? The Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And sure enough, the next day the Israelites won the battle. Now, my point in saying all that is here in this passage, if you just kind of focus on verse 22, the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves. Now, again, they encouraged themselves. In this case, they encouraged themselves, and you're to be reminded that you'll have to refight the same enemy, perhaps, over and over again. These guys went out three different days. One day, 22,000 men fall. The next day, 18,000 men fall. Are you sure, Lord, you want us to go up? Yep, go up. And the third day, they won. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to be encouraged to refight the same enemy you've already lost to. Now, again, these guys encouraged themselves. Nobody came along. A messenger didn't come along and say, okay, boys, let's go. Come on. Rah, rah, kick him in the knee. Let's go. Come on, come on. Nobody did that. They encouraged themselves. They had to refight a battle they had lost before. Welcome to Christianity. Right? How many times do you have to go back to the same spot and battle and fight and lose and then encourage yourself the next day? How about prayer? Let's just talk about prayer for a minute. How many of you prayed 5 days straight this week where you are completely satisfied with your prayer life? Boy, you prayed so well, and God was so real, there's just no way to improve it. How many had 5 days in a row this week? Okay, how many had 4 days out of five this week? Oh, okay. How many had 3 days out of five? Two? Even one? You know what I keep doing? I get up just about every morning. Sometimes there are days that I have to get up and go do something real fast or whatever and don't get to pray first. But prayer is the first thing I do at least 6 days a week. Certainly Saturday and Sunday, and certainly Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay? Prayer is the first thing I do in the morning. Actually, sometimes I go get coffee going first. I don't drink coffee first, but I get it going. So when I'm done, I'm ready. But it's the first thing I do, and I have to tell you, I get up every morning and go back to a battlefield. As far as I'm concerned, I got whooped on. I got my tail kicked on the battlefield of prayer yesterday and the day before. The day before that, and the one before that, and you know the one before that? Yeah, that one too. Every single day, every single day. How many times do you have to fight the same battle over and over again that you got defeated in? You have to learn to encourage yourself to go back to a battlefield over and over again that you've been defeated on and go back and fight some more. Welcome to the Christian life. I give you a name about Moses. Here's Moses. He's completely humiliated in Egypt. I mean, he's going to lead Israel out. Israel didn't want to be led out. He wound up an enemy of Pharaoh. Now he's called back. All these years later, he's got to go back to Egypt where he failed, go back, stand before Pharaoh, before whom he failed, and go back and stand before Israel, who refused to allow him to lead them out. He had to go back and fight on the same battlefield he had to fight on before. I want you to know, you'll have to refight the same enemy you lost to. Look at something else. Look in 1 Samuel 30. Now, these last two that I have shown you has revolved around you encouraging yourself. One of them before has to do with you being encouraged by a messenger. But before the last two, you've been called upon to encourage yourself. Look in 1 Samuel 30. And once again, here in this one, 1 Samuel chapter 30, David appeared he was going to go out and fight against his own people with Achish, the king of Gath, the Philistine king, and the Philistines that had David there said, we don't want him fighting with us. He'll turn on us in the middle of the battle and fight for Israel. So Achish had to send him home. Well, he got home, and there had been a major raid on his camp, and all the wives and all the children and all the livestock had been taken away, right? Notice chapter 30, verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So their wives and their children have been stolen. Down in verse 5, David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, and notice again, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now the thing that struck me about that, okay, David encouraged himself. Okay, furthermore, he encouraged himself in the middle of distress. I mean, verse 6, he was greatly distressed. You would be too, right? You have to learn to encourage yourself in distress, but that's not the main thing. You'll have to encourage yourself when you are paying for your transgressions. Stop and think about how this worked. David's running from Saul, right? Saul's not happy with David. He's tried to kill David. So David decides, I said, I've had enough of this. Now, there's just a step between me and death. So I'm going to go to the Philistines and be with them. So he went to Achish, the king of Gath, and served Achish, the king of Gath, the Philistine king, the enemy, the arch enemy of Israel. It doesn't have to be very hardly argued to realize David did the wrong thing in doing that, right? It was a stupid thing to do to forsake Israel, go to the Philistines, and fight for the Philistines. Furthermore, again, it looked like anyway, I don't know if he was going to turn in the middle of battle or not, but he went to battle for Achish. And by all apparent purposes, it sure looks like he was going to fight his own people, Israel, on the side of the Philistines. Now, whether he was going to turn in battle or not, whether he had that intention, I do not know. It is not hard to see, though, that David did wrong and was dead wrong for being in the camp of the Philistines. Anybody have a problem with that? Can you see that? So then, if that's the case, if he's that wrong, and probably what, knows he's wrong, he goes back to Ziklag where his wives are and everybody else's wives and kids are, and they have been raided by the Amalekites. What's the cause of that? The men knew the cause of that. They were ready to stone David because it was his problem. He was their leader. He said, we're going to do this. They said, are you sure? Yep, we're going to do this. We're going to go fight with the Philistines. They come back. Their kids and their wives are gone. Why? Because God was judging David's backsliddenness. God was judging David's mistake. God was judging David's transgressions. Okay? So David was distressed because in large measure, it was his fault. Guess what? In the Christian life, you're going to go through sometimes, and you're going to be able to go, you're going to go through some things. You're going to watch your kids go through some things. You know what you're going to think in your head? I wonder if the Lord's paying me back through my kids for some of the stuff that I pulled back in the day. You know? Maybe you can be even more certain than that. Maybe you can know that God for sure is dealing with you and judging you on something you did before. You have to learn to encourage yourself even when you know you're at the moment paying for your transgressions. Just because God is judging you doesn't mean you're not supposed to go back and get your wives back from the Amalekites. Right? Just because God's judging you doesn't mean that there's not a that you're not still in the fight, you're not still a soldier for Jesus Christ. You have to learn to encourage yourself even when you're paying for your transgressions. Just one more here. Look in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. You should receive encouragement as a charge. That is, don't be pettily discouraged. Or for that matter, pettily discouraged. Is pettily a word? You have to learn to be encouraged under adverse conditions. You have to know that you're going to be encouraged at times by the hand of a messenger. You, by the way, sometimes should be the messenger, right? You need to learn to encourage yourself. You need to learn that you have to encourage yourself in refighting the same old battles over and over again. You have to encourage yourself when you are paying for your transgressions. And finally, on the last, 2 Chronicles, and notice chapter 31. 2 Chronicles 31. And this is Hezekiah. We venture here to two guys that led the greatest revivals after Israel kind of went into apostasy, Hezekiah and Josiah. In both these cases, look in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 2. Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites. Verse 3, he appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons, for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. See, the Levites had kind of been cast aside. They no longer were receiving the tithes from the people because the people weren't giving them. And so he said, you know, what we're going to do now is just like the Bible says, just like the law says, the people of Jerusalem are going to give their tithes to the Levites so the Levites have a living and can actually serve the temple, serve the Lord, and eat at the same time. Okay, would you just see in that? That it was according to the law of the Lord that the Levites were encouraged. And again, 2 Chronicles 35. 2 Chronicles 35, 2, where Josiah does much the same thing. Look in 35, 1. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. That's what Levites were supposed to do. They were supposed to work in the house of the Lord, right? He encouraged them, both those kings encouraged those Levites to do that. Okay, what was he doing? He was basically reinstating the law for the Levites. You know what I learned from that? I learned from that the most important encouragement you get is in following God's way, in following the Word of God. It may not seem to you that it should be encouraging. It may not seem to some that it should be encouraging to come and get preached at and railed on and admonished and rebuked three times a week. But it is. Right? The right way to be encouraged is to go God's way. Whether or not you believe it, wives, if you submit yourselves unto your own husbands, you will be more encouraged than if you don't. Children, whether you believe it or not, obeying your parents is one way of encouraging yourself and staying on the right track. And you'll be less discouraged doing what God said, God's way, than you will doing it some other way. The best encouragement comes going God's way, according to God's Word. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, Father, we've made plain here tonight. Everybody understands clearly that we live in a discouraging day, I suppose. By discouraging, I mean we can always find bad news. We can always find a reason to be down, both in our personal lives and in other folks' lives, our brothers and sisters. We've all seen tragedies and casualties. And, Father, it's not any fun at all. But the fact is, you've called us to war. You called us to war, good warfare, just like Joshua. Father, you've been called us to be encouraged in thy work and in thy word. Pray, Father, you'd give us a kind of adamancy and a resiliency. The wicked are resilient. They just keep coming back for more, Father. They are resolute. They pound away. Help us, Lord, to have the same kind of resilience that a lot of wicked people have. Help us not be easily discouraged. Help us to always be encouraged. Help us, Father, give us a charge. Help us take it as a charge to be strengthened and to be encouraged. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here while Jenny plays. Now, I don't know where you're at. I know where I am. I am in a place, not just because I'm a pastor, but just because I'm a Christian. I am in a place where I know lots of things about lots of folks, my brethren and sisters in Christ. And I look on folks that are discouraged. I know why they are. I know why they say they are. The fact of the matter is, we're all called to stay on top of this thing. Nobody here is called to be rolled under, give up the ghost, and quit just because you're discouraged. Some of us are too easily discouraged. It's almost sometimes like folks want to be discouraged. Like, you really don't want to fight. Like, in the end, you really don't want to do right. Like, you really don't want to win. Can't do that. We're called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Courage is the quality of mind that enables one to encounter danger and difficulty with firmness and without depression of spirits. And when I encourage you, I'm seeking to impart that courage, that firmness. When you allow yourself to be discouraged, that firmness is removed. And you now fear and you're fretful. You just can't see your way to go out to battle. Joshua was encouraged in a day when his mentor was going the way of all the earth under the judgment of God. When Israel
shoulda, coulda, woulda gone in and didn't. And now he gets to watch them all die in the wilderness, and their carcasses buried there in the wilderness. He was still called to be encouraged. Father, I pray you'll help us here. I don't know, have no clue how near some have ventured to a line where they allow themselves to be carried away by discouragement. I pray, Father, you'd help us and strengthen us, Lord. There's nothing really to do but keep getting up, climbing off the tarmac, and keep getting up and fighting on again. Pray, Father, you'd help us. We serve a great God. We have a Bible. We have a Holy Spirit inside of us. We serve the greatest Savior, the only Savior. We know we're on the winning side. Help us have strength, Father. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to encourage ourselves. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books to 334. Just going to sing a couple here. 334.
Y'all being here all day today. We'll, Lord willing, see you Wednesday. Brother Johnson is going to be with us Wednesday. Missionary to New Guinea. Been through some things, his health and all, and we look forward to seeing him again. So plan on coming, and we'll give Brother Johnson a love offering on Wednesday night. All right, we're dismissed. We just prayed, so we'll see y'all Wednesday, Lord willing.